Well, we want to welcome you to our Thousand Hills Ranch Church Christmas Eve gathering. You guys glad to be here? Well, we're glad that you're here. We're so excited that you came out on this Christmas Eve. This is the first time we've actually done a Christmas Eve service, and so we're excited about it. We're excited about what God's going to do through it. And so we've got some awesome things coming. You guys are going to get to light your candles at the end of the service today, and we're going to just have an awesome time.
Watching over me, I feel the rain, I hear the thunder as he cries for me. Standing in my Savior's shadow, grace will lead to where I'm free. I take his hand, we walk together. His light shines for me. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, where I'm supposed to be, standing in my Savior's shadow, following his footsteps there. Every mountain, every ocean hears my every prayer. Though the devil tries to break me, my sweet Jesus won't forsake me. When I'm in my Savior's shadow, I'm supposed to be. Shadow where I'm supposed to be. And when I'm in my Savior's shadow, who I'm supposed to be.
Well, obviously we come to celebrate Christmas, and I want to say Merry Christmas to you guys. Merry Christmas, and yeah, Merry, thank you. And I want to thank you again for, you know, just being here. This afternoon, we get to celebrate and we get to talk about one of the greatest stories ever told, and it's the story of Jesus's birth. And so we're excited about that, and I want to read to you the Christmas story. Many of you have read this before. Many of you have hopefully read this to your family. Many of you probably had this read to you as a child. But I want to revisit and retell this story that was told so many years ago, or that actually happened so many years ago, and so that we can kind of get a good idea about the truth of the Lord's birth. So let's look at it together. In Luke chapter 2, it says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had happened or what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I don't know if that story resonates with you. How many of you guys read that story as a child? Anybody read that story as a child? Yeah. It's one of the greatest stories ever told. And I say one of the greatest because there's so many amazing stories that are told about our Savior Jesus. Amen? And this is the story of his birth. And I want to share with you something that I got in the mail. Maybe you guys got this in the mail too, but this is a survey that they sent out from the USDA, the Department of Agriculture sent it out. And it's a survey, you know, they want to know who you are. They want to know what you do on your ranch, right? I mean, they got questions about everything, whether how many acres you operate, how many grain, storage, places that you have, how much livestock you have. I mean, they have, everything from poultry. Anybody raise chickens? Come on, don't be ashamed. I'm just kidding. We have a few chickens ourselves, but poultry, bees, labor, if you paid anybody, I mean, they sent this survey out so that they could know who you are, know what you do, and where you or what you intend to do with your land. And you say, well, why did they send that? Well, if you don't know it, you're actually going to have a census taken in 2017. They take census once every 5 years. And by law, and it says it on here, by law, your response, is required. It's required by law. And some of you guys are like, well, what's the point of that? Well, as I open this survey that's going to, end up in a census, I was reminded of another census that took place 2,000 years ago. And I want to read that to you again, because oftentimes I think that we overlook some things that really, God wants to point out to us in the scripture. And look at it with me in verses 1-3 again. It says, "In those days," and you say his name with me, who is it? "Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to what? To register." Now you say, well, what's the point? Well, I'm going to get to it here in just a second. But here's the thing. As I reread and as I just read the Christmas story, I want you to realize this. The obvious focus is found in Jesus Christ. It's found in Jesus. I mean, he is the reason the story was written. But as I always try to do, I always try to, think things, out. I try to come up with some creative things. Sometimes they're creative, sometimes they're not. But I also, I wonder who and how did God use the other characters of the Christmas story? And in the past, my wife, she spoke about Mary and being a mother, of Jesus and how that must have felt on that day. And in the past, I've talked about the shepherds, because many of us can, relate to the shepherds because we take care of livestock. Well, there's one individual that I just kept coming back to, and I want to talk a little bit about him, and I want to talk about how he compared to Jesus. And his name is Caesar Augustus. Anybody ever studied Caesar Augustus? Great, good. All you history buffs, man, come on now. Caesar Augustus, let me give you a little backstory on Caesar Augustus real quick, and then I'm going to be done here in just a few minutes. But his real name was Octavian, a really powerful, cool name, and he was the most popular man in Rome. He reigned over 3 million square miles of territory. And history tells us that although he was the, you know, the leader of Rome, although he was the leader of the army, although, you know, he had all this power, he was actually a cowardly man. And so here's the thing. He had an army, just to protect him individually, an army of over 500,000 soldiers. 500,000 soldiers. And I don't know if you know anything about the army, but it costs a lot of money to have an army like that, right? And so you think, well, how the heck did he pay for that army? Well, that's what gets us to this part of the story. To pay for that extravagant, you know, army that he had, instead of diving into his rich pockets, he decides that I'm going to tax all the people that are out there to pay for my army so that I can protect my power. But here's the thing. In order to tax them, he had to know who they were and what they did. And so what did he issue to be done? A census, right? A census. And that's what brings us to the story of Joseph and Mary going to the town of Bethlehem because they had to register in the town from where they were from. And so you say, well, what's the point of all that? Well, I look at that and I think, well, you know, Caesar Augustus, I mean, what kind of guy was he? Well, as I begin to think about it, he was a very powerful man. I mean, think about it. He raised one finger and he told one person, hey, I want to do a census. And guess what the rest of the world had to do? They had to do it. And here's Mary and Joseph who lived almost 60 to 70 miles away. And you say, well, that's no big deal. We traveled out to get here from Laverne. Well, they didn't have the Dodge pickup that you had. They had donkeys. Anybody ridden a donkey lately? Yeah, good. Did you like it? You did? Good. Well, I can tell you that I wouldn't have liked to rode a donkey for like, you know, 100 yards, much less 70 miles. And so I'm thinking, man, this guy was powerful. I mean, he had castles, he had thrones. I mean, he had a vast army to protect him from any threat, and he had wealth and fortune that was unfathomable. But here's what I began to ask myself as well. What impact did Caesar really make? What impact did he really make? What lasting difference did his powerful, you know, reign, what did it really matter? At the end of the day, what did he do compared to Jesus? And here's what I came up with. And I want to give you a few facts about our Lord and Savior Jesus compared to this Caesar Augustus, all right? First is this. Caesar Augustus was born in Italy to a prosperous family of knights. Jesus was born in a manger to a poor family and a son of a carpenter. I don't know if you realize that. Caesar Augustus was the heir to his throne through his uncle Julius Caesar. But guess what? Jesus is the heir to the throne of God through his father, God Almighty. Amen? That's a good thing. Caesar claimed to be the son of God. He actually did. He actually claimed, and he was worshipped like a god. And the funny thing is, he had coins made, and on one side it has Caesar Augustus' picture, and it said, the son of a god. And on the other side, it had Julius Caesar's picture, and it said, what did it say? I had it written down here. It said that Julius Caesar was, inscribed on the other side, was the god Julius. Now, here's the thing. You think, well, what's the point? Well, Julius Caesar and Caesar Augustus, they claimed to be a god. But guess what? Jesus is the Son of God. Amen? He didn't just claim, he is the Son of God. Guess what? The month of August is named after Caesar Augustus. But guess what? Jesus is the name above all names. Amen? Caesar Augustus eliminated his enemies because he feared his loss of power. But Jesus, guess what, was wrongfully killed by his enemies so that he could show his power. Caesar died at the age of 76 and is still in the grave. But Jesus died on a cross at the age of 33 and was buried in a borrowed tomb, but rose from the dead 3 days later. Amen? That's a good thing. Yeah, give it up. Here's the thing. We only know the story of Caesar Augustus because God and his divine power chose to include him in the Christmas story. But guess what? 2,000 years later, the whole world has heard the story of Jesus. Here's the last thing. Today, Caesar's only palace is in Vegas. But guess what? Jesus makes his home in the hearts of millions of believers all across the world. Amen. You say, what's the point? Well, here's the point. Although Caesar Augustus had all kinds of fortune, although he had all kinds of fame, although he had all kinds of armies, his life couldn't hold a candle to the baby born in Bethlehem on that Christmas night. And so here's the thing. You say, well, why does all this matter? Well, it matters because Jesus came so that we could have hope. His birth, guess what? His birth was, you know, as God's son, was so that we could have life, so that each of us could have life. And you say, well, Bo, what should our response be to his birth? Well, here's the thing. He didn't just stay a baby. I don't know if you realize that or not. He didn't just stay a baby. He rose and grew and became a man of at the age of 33 who began his ministry, and he actually died on a cross for you and for me so that we could have eternal life. Amen? Yeah. And so you say, okay, but what should my response be to this story? Well, here's what we would ask you to do, because many of us have done it. We ask you to believe. We ask you to believe. Many of you are here today and you think, well, you know, I believe in God. And I believe that he is up there. I believe that, you know, that he is, you know, a part of our lives. Well, here's the thing that I've learned. There is a difference between just believing that God exists and actually knowing him. And here's the point. Jesus is the person, the Son of God, that came and was born and died so that you could actually know the God of the universe. And so you say, what should my response be? God says, if you will believe in me, believe in Jesus, if you will confess him as your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. And so here's the thing. Caesar Augustus was a great man, a great king, a great ruler, but his life couldn't hold a candle to Jesus Christ. And he is the reason that we come here today to celebrate and to worship the risen Savior. Can I ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second? We're going to sing another song here in just a second. But with your head bowed and your eyes closed, I want to read one more scripture to you. And I think it's pertinent to our lives today. Because I think that many of us have trusted in maybe ourselves. Maybe we've trusted in money. Maybe we've trusted in the things of this world. Maybe like Caesar, we've trusted in the security of another human being to protect us. But can I just encourage you today? Put your trust in the Lord. Listen to this scripture, Psalm 20, verse 7. It says this, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. So here's my question. Have you trusted in the Savior of the world? Have you made him the ruler of your life? Or are you just trusting in the things that are going to fade? Maybe you're trusting in your kids to make you happy. Maybe you're trusting in your money to make you happy. Maybe you're trusting in your spouse to make you happy. Listen, nothing on this earth can truly satisfy you. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can. You may be here today and this is the first time you've heard about him. The first time that you've heard that he can save you from your sin. Well, listen, today you have an opportunity, even right now at 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, you have an opportunity to know him personally. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is found in the Bible, and it says this. If you will confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Here's what we try to do at Thousand Hills. We don't ask you to come to the front. We're not going to make a scene. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. But many people have come tonight that maybe have never trusted in Jesus. They've never given him their life. And we always want to give each person an opportunity to do that. And so maybe you're here tonight, and right there in your chair, just in your heart, you don't have to say anything out loud. You don't have to make any sound. Just in your heart, maybe you just want to pray this simple prayer with me. And again, the words aren't, they're not what saves you. It's what you mean in your heart. But maybe you just need to pray something like this. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I know that you came on that Christmas night. Jesus, I know that you are the Son of God. But tonight, I'm placing my trust in you. I confess you as my Lord and Savior. And I believe that you rose from the dead so that I could be saved. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to save the world. Listen, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, nobody's looking around. If you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, you have now began a personal relationship with Jesus. And you say, Bo, what do I do now? Well, that's why the church exists, because we are here to help you grow in your new relationship with Jesus. You say, well, what do I do? Well, we don't keep records here. We don't, you know, just, you know, want your information so that we can pad records and say we're, you know, a big church or anything like that. We want to know that you've given your life to Jesus so that we can help you, so that we can give you resources. If you don't have a Bible, if you need help, if you need physical, you know, help, if you need food, if you need whatever your needs are, if you just need prayer, we want to know, because we want to serve you. And we want to help you grow in your new relationship with Jesus. And you say, so what do I do? Well, as you leave, you have a card on your chair that we would ask you, if you made a decision today, if you want more information about our church, if you want to become a member of our church or whatever it is, fill out that orange card on your chair. Place it in one of the yellow buckets that are hanging on the rails here, and we will contact you about your decision. You say, but I don't have an orange card. What else can I do? You can contact us on our website, info@thousandhillsranch.church, or you can just text your name to the number that's on the screen, and we will contact you about your decision. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lead us in a closing word of prayer, and then we're going to stand together. We're going to sing one more song, and we're going to light these candles in honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to share one of the greatest stories ever told, Lord. It's a story of your birth and how you came, not just to be a child, but to be a Savior. And so, Lord, I thank you that you didn't just come and live on the earth and live as a king, live in a, you know, a castle somewhere like Caesar Augustus. But you came and you were born in a manger to a carpenter, so that you could relate to us. And Lord, throughout your life, you didn't commit one sin. You lived a perfect life. And I thank you for that as well, because we can look to perfection for our salvation. And so, Lord, we celebrate your birth today. We celebrate the life that it gives us when we trust in you and we give our lives to you. And so, Lord, we thank you. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us and sing this with us? All is gone, all is gone.
child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. Shepherds quail at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, day and breeze from my holy faith, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. All is gone, all is gone. Crown young virgin, mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace.
Merry Christmas, everybody, and thanks, everybody, for coming out.